This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, March 9th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as I have a conversation on anonymity and transparency. It's a conversation that I and Aaron are having on Tuesday. But before I get into that, I want to discuss a recent announcement by the Minister of Tourism. It's excellent news, but I want to analyze exactly what is happening. And of course, I sent Aaron a news article, and I said, Aaron, you know, I need you to read, because I want you to do commentary on this. You know, people enjoy your analytical views on it. And I say, hey, I'm going to set you up. We're going to comment on that. And then we can move into this other topic. So let me start off with this. This is a statement by the Honorable Chester Cooper, MP, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism and Investment and Aviation, on the Royal Caribbean International, RCI, Beach Club, right? And I want everyone who's listening, my listening audience, to follow me as we analyze this, as we celebrate this, as we conclude on this, right? It says Nassau. 7th of March, 2023, the government of the Bahamas is pleased to announce the approval has been granted for Royal Caribbean International, RCI, $100 million beach club project on Paradise Island. The project, when completed, will offer guests beach and water sports activities, as well as bohemian entertainment and retail experiences. The government is satisfied that it has addressed previous objections to the project by ensuing much greater bohemian participation at all phases of the construction and in the ongoing operation. RCI will not have equity ownership in any ferry business from the Prince George Wharf on the site. Several key activities at the site, including water sports, entertainment, tours, food and beverage, retail, security, environmental monitoring, and landscaping will be reserved principally for bohemian entrepreneurs and businesses. The government will impose a tourism development fund levy on 1% of the annual gross revenue of the Royal Beach Club. Further, the government intends to convert the Crown land contribution into an equity stake of the project. That equity stake will be conveyed to the country's sovereign wealth fund. Bahamians will also be invited to invest in the project and hold equity up to 49%, with the remainder being held by RCI. This project will create hundreds of jobs, both during the construction and operational phases, further contributing meaningfully to the tourism rebound and economic growth that has been set in motion by focused policy initiatives of this administration. We take great pride in the fact that this and similar upcoming projects, we have significantly expanding opportunities for Bahamians to participate during the development stage and throughout the life of the project. RCI has been an outstanding partner with the Bahamas and is committed to deepening its relationship with the Bahamas, was also a key consideration in granting approval. At full capacity, the beach club can accommodate less than 5% of the cruise passenger arrivals each day. We anticipate this development will attract more tourists off the ships and will therefore have minimal adverse impact on existing businesses. The first of a kind, this first of a kind project for RCI will cover 17 acres, of which 13 acres represents privately held land and 4 acres of the Crown land that was included in the lease to RCI by the former administration. It is important to note that the land currently proposed under the project has not been subject to any dispute or litigation. Final approval of the project is subject to submission and approval of a standard environmental impact assessment and an environmental management plan. And that's the end of it, right? And I, like I said, I wanted to analyze this before we move into our main topic. And of course, there's news, but I want to engage Aaron with this as we analyze this, right? Mm-hmm. Several, get your mic, Aaron. You don't have your mic on.
Sorry.
Several weeks ago, yeah, you and I had a show about the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yes.
Right? I see that the Deputy Prime Minister announced that this money is going to be used into the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yeah.
Somewhere, right? And I'm going to ask you, what's Sovereign Wealth Fund?
I'm about to say the same thing. In fact, I saw a number of pieces of commentary congratulating, you know, the government on the success.
All kinds of people excited.
And then the first thing I thought, like you said, is, but what's Sovereign Wealth Fund? At our last convening, when mm-hmm. we were discussing this, what we noted was that at the time that they tabled the bill for the NIFA, which is a national...
I want to stop you there. Forgive me for this. Because yeah. I hate when I stop you because you was being a good train of thought. What happened to the Sovereign Wealth Fund? Because I know we had one before.
Right, this is what I'm saying. When they were tabling provisions to establish an NIFA, which is the National Investment Fund Act, they actually also tabled a bill to repeal the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act.
What do you mean by repeal? See how it'll be. What do you mean they repeal the Sovereign Wealth Fund?
And I'm sure in the commentary we read that some of the actors would have suggested that they are replacing, right? That they repealing the Sovereign Wealth Fund because they act, the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act, because they're replacing it with the NIFA.
So we now have an NIFA instead of a Sovereign Wealth Fund, are you saying?
Well, that is the impression that I left myself with. The conversation that we had is that the NIFA replaces the Sovereign Wealth Fund. In fact, I think the commentary from the Prime Minister said that these new provisions, this new model, was suggested or even recommended by either the IMF or the IDB, but one of the supranational agencies, a more relevant model that the developing countries are using in the legislation that I reviewed on the NIFA. And I'm saying, first of all, I'm not a lawyer.
You're not a lawyer.
Second of all, I don't have my special superhero glasses, but I didn't even see the word Sovereign Wealth Fund
legislation. So what is now used? Because this SFF, this SWF, Sovereign Wealth Fund, right, no longer exists.
Well, the language that the legislation uses is NIF, which is National Investment Fund. But I make this point.
Go ahead.
Lawyers are very, very particular about the words that they use.
Mm.
Every word has a particular meaning.
Mm.
And a lot of lawyers get paid a lot of money to ensure that they are using the proper words, the exact words that are necessary, accurate, right, even. And so you're going to have to try very hard to convince me that when you say NIFA, you actually mean Sovereign Wealth Fund.
No, we know it's not a Sovereign Wealth Fund.
No, say, listen, Cecil, you and I may know that, but remember, a whole country went through a whole legal exercise where people could not make a distinction between to regulate and to legalize.
That's the Bahamas for you.
Right, and I'm still waiting for the lawyer with the integrity to get up and say, dear Bahamians, there is a difference between to regulate and to legalize.
So, but back to our research, where we had a discussion on and had a whole show, mm-hmm. two shows, in fact, mm-hmm. about Sovereign Wealth Fund and the benefits of it and carbon credits and whatever it is. What is this investment fund? That, if you can remember, this new thing. What is it going to be for?
So the investment fund was to be able to, is a mechanism to levy the value, to levy the value of the natural resources as we extract them and to use them to generate more money, right? invest that value extracted from existing natural resources, to use that money that we generate from those investments to come back now and invest in the country. Now, as far as I'm concerned, we're only investing in things the government should have been doing before the Sovereign Wealth Fund even existed.
That's what my concern
but
is.
One of the things we're going to do is we're going to create mechanisms to protect the same natural resources that we are exploiting or extracting value from, right? Other is in Family Island infrastructure real projects. Another one is renewable energy resources. But I'm hard-pressed to understand how did these things shift from things the government is ordinarily responsible for,
like,
to things,
right,
to things a sovereign wealth fund would be required to provide resources for.
And I would pressure you to and ask you this, right? A sovereign wealth fund conjures up citizenry ownership owned by the people. However, the investment fund is driven by the government and whatever the government deems necessary that the people may want, mm-hmm. but not necessarily what the people want. So when I hear the Deputy Prime Minister saying that this money is going to be put into a sovereign wealth fund that supposed to not no longer exists, I get kind of uneasy saying, wait,
well,
we had a whole for two discussion reasons. On that.
I mean, let's look at the primary reason one would get uneasy, right? We're not no concern about corruption, skullduggery, none, and malfeasance, none of that. I am concerned that y'all haven't thought this out sufficiently, that you don't have a well-structured, crafted policy framework, white paper, something that steps 10 years, 20 years, 100 years into the future, something who then goes expands laterally, right, to engage its impact across the globe real time. I am concerned because when you govern wealth fund after this whole process of repealing the act and implementing a new act, I get the impression that you don't really know what you're talking about. And you may actually just be reading from a speech written by people that don't have the authority to make decisions, you know?
I think you might have gone to.
I mean, I think I may have been talking about the Prime Minister even. But the point is this.
Mm-hmm.
It is troubling.
It is troubling. But let's analyze exactly what the press statement said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they said they had to satisfy the government because they had some concerns, right? Said, RCI will not have equity ownership in any of the ferry business from Prince George Wharf. Is that a good thing?
Pause. Why do they have to tell me that?
I thought it was given.
isn't there existing legislation that excludes non-nationals from taxi and transportation services?
One would assume. But we know that there aren't any land access to this beach.
Right.
Right? So everything would have been going to, via ferry or via boat.
Okay. And that's what the problem is. What if we call it a water taxi? If we call it a water taxi, would we realize that provisions already exist to protect Bahamians in that industry?
See, look where you're going. What about if you rename it shuttle, like how they have a shuttle bus and like how you can have a shuttle bus between properties?
Yeah.
What do they call it? They call it a shuttle boat.
Yeah.
And that, and like the people who are working on the cruise ship exactly, how are they getting from the cruise ship, the workers,
yeah,
the staff of the boat, to the island?
Surely the cruise company has to pay Bahamian service.
It can't be them, right?
But the law says that they can't provide that type of service.
Yeah. So going further on, say several key activities at the site, including water sports.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's no land access. So I assume these boats and water sports can get there somehow, right?
Right.
Water sports entertainment. Remember, again, there's no land access. So I'm not sure how these people who's
responsible for the cost of,
right,
transportation.
Food and beverage. And you know, on those private islands, right?
Yeah.
We know that persons on the boat, the Filipinos, the Jamaicans,
staff members.
All these region around the world, they come off the boat and work on these private islands.
No, but they're not allowed to.
But I tell you what happened on the island.
No, but they don't have work permits to do that.
You're trying to say that if people come off this Royal Caribbean cruise line, they have work permits to work on the private beach there?
Because you could own the land. I mean, not under my administration, but technically you could own the land. You could even own the beach up to the high, you know, above the high water mark. You could own that, not below it. But you cannot export this to another country. You're still in the jurisdiction that requires that people who work here have work permits to work here.
So definitely, if anyone who come off that boat who ain't no citizen or have work permit or permanent resident, they can need to have an NIB number and pay in national insurance.
Or they're going to have a blue and white striped towel to indicate that they are part of the cruising guests recreating.
Interesting. So the environmental monitoring.
Now, mind you, that's just my reading of the law.
But there's clearly the press secretary needs to explain this because I would
prefer the minister responsible for labor. Not the one responsible for investments.
Not the one responsible for investments.
No, the one responsible
for... This is now a labor issue. We need to ask the labor issues to clear up. So yes, we cool it. We discuss it with the Minister of Tourism and we understand that he understands that these things can't happen under our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So it's a reserve principally. I'm not sure what it... Okay, let me read this part because you know the big words. I want to understand what this principally means, right?
Yeah.
It says that the several key activities at the site, including water sports, entertainment, tours, food and beverage, retail, security, environmental monitoring, and landscaping will be reserved principally for Bahamian entrepreneurs and businesses.
What do you mean principally?
I don't know what principally
is. I know, here's what I do know. Principally is not the same as entirely.
What?
Exclusively.
What, exclusively?
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you doing?
How are you guys?
Okay, Mark is ready too. What principally means?
I mean, it's a good point, but I'm still back at that poor Toby who lost that island, remember?
Don't worry about Toby. Yeah, we talk about the Bahamian government, the Bahamian people. Toby lost. And the government decided that we ain't going to entertain Toby. I didn't move from that.
But
I acknowledge your point. I just making fun of it.
Mark, I acknowledge your point.
I'm for Bahamians.
You're for Bahamians?
Yeah.
You're trying to say my government ain't for Bahamians? What you trying to say, Pablo?
I'm saying that. And the government never said that they weren't either, but... You know, that's reality of it. If you're a small guy, you're not going to get these deals.
Our government make decisions for the majority of us. So Toby had to take one for the team.
Mm-hmm. He just didn't get a good lease.
I don't think people mind taking one for the team, you know. I surely have taken many for the team. The point is this, people, when you put them in that position, expect you to be honest with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They expect you to be honest with them.
But going to what you're saying about words, you know, these words are drafted very, very carefully.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yes.
So principally means
something different than entirely.
Exactly.
Or exclusively. Or only.
But tell me what happens, you know, when those cruise lines go into these private islands, right? And their staff go on to serve the drinks and organize the water sports, do they need permits to do that?
That's what we're asking now.
See, now somebody is going to suggest that the terms of the contract drawn up between the government and the company may allow them certain, not breaches, but concessions, right? But I imagine that should be reflected in an amendment in the law. If in a contract you're going to allow people to circumvent the labor...
Because they're normally
or
secret,
immigration.
Right? Those types of contracts are usually not disclosed.
See,
for
like normally and usually,
reasons, right?
That normally and usually are such interesting words. Because I cannot imagine, and I'm trying to figure out when did this happen that our government began suggesting to us that for the sake of the integrity of the agreement that they made on our behalf with a foreign entity, that we are not allowed to see that agreement.
And this is why I'm concerned about the sovereign wealth fund, because you can't be doing things on our behalf if it's about citizenry. Sovereign wealth fund means that I have a stake in it and that whatever decided, I have a right to complain and agitate and say, no, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems that I can understand investment fund and government have private eye concept.
Well,
but
they're two different things. Wealth is a noun.
Yeah, go ahead.
Investment is a verb when you're investing, right? So it doesn't speak to those things that you spoke about earlier. This is more about corporate governance, you know, setting up. Yeah, you know, I think you said, Aaron, the IDB had suggested that this was something they were going to set up. But what was more confusing for me is when he said that there were some other funds that they were going to set up as soon as this legislation came through. Can you remember what they were? There were like three or four.
Right, there
were
some funds,
rehabilitate the family islands.
Right, there's a family island infrastructure fund.
Things that the consolidated fund does. Yes.
The consolidated fund should have been doing.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I said my sovereign wealth fund is being abused and it didn't start yet. And then mm-hmm. it was so much things they want to do with the fund yeah. before it even got established and making some kind of profit. I think that they're stretching the fund too much. But I want to make this point because I still want that article to be read because yeah. the article analyzed some things.
That's the article you read just now.
No.
This one is you sent me.
Yes, when I sent yeah, you. Yeah, I want to read that. It said the government will impose a tourism development fund levy on 1% of the annual gross revenue of the Royal Beach Club. I've never heard about that before. Has that ever happened? Be a tax directly on the gross fund of a tourism entity? That's new. I mean, that was impressive, but that's new.
No, I've never heard of that before.
And say further, the government
1% though.
Yeah, but 1% might be a lot of money.
It might be
1% of $1 billion is a lot of money. Yeah, said the further the government intends to convert the Crown land contribution into a equity stake of the project. So that means the government owns part of this project. That's what equity stake means. That.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that equity stake will be conveyed into the country's sovereign wealth fund, which we conclude doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So how do you value? So you have to have some mechanism for valuation of that stake, right?
See, look where you're going to ask, man. Why you ask that?
Well, normally...
I understand your point, but look what you're going to say.
That's only worth $1.
Equities. Well, I guess...
You have to have some kind of mechanism for saying that stake is worth
equity stake,
right?
It would suggest to me that it's
a partnership. Remember, these are all partnerships for development. Yeah. This is how they describe these investment funds.
And on top of this equity stake that our government has in this project, right? Say, Bahamians will be also invited to invest in the project and hold equity up to 49%, with the remainder being held by RCI. It sounds like they want to finance the construction of this thing.
Yeah. I mean...
So that's just me. You all come and invest. You all ain't going to be no preferred. I mean, that's just me. I conspiracy theory oriented. You all spend your money up front and we'll bill it, and now you all have a...
Yeah, no. See,
because I believe I already have a stake. I part of the government have a stake.
Yeah,
now I
got to
invest in it,
right?
Twice. I invested in twice.
So is there some sort of authority that then approves those investment proposals? So if Aaron, you're going to put your little fruit stand there, mm-hmm. how do you go about doing that?
I don't know.
Well, I think you got to be approved by the Tourism Development Corporation to even gain access.
So they,
and then how do I get access to the property if I have, like they say, food and beverage could be Bahamian.
Right, who's responsible for transporting these things, right? Are you responsible for your own cost? So mm-hmm. to be able to qualify for this, not only do you have to be able to manage, right, to have a large enough capacity to manage the business, you got to be able to transport your goods back and forth to the island every day.
Every day.
And is there a penalty attached to your inability to show up every day, right? Like if the weather's bad and you can't get there because mm-hmm. your boat is too small, will you be penalized and potentially lose the contract?
And definitely it seems as if the RCI, Royal Caribbean Investments, only money comes from getting their patrons to come on the island. They don't own no food and beverage, no souvenirs, no anything. Or that's me misinterpreting. So you get this island, you still can't sell any souvenirs. You no t-shirt, no taking tours. All the tours will be Bahamian. So you can't take picture with the dolphin or whatever thing.
Well, I mean, the dolphin is Bahamian.
But you know, they have mascots. I'm thinking about the mascots of the cruise line.
I imagine that'll be a cruise service. You know, you take a picture.
They say tours will be Bahamian.
That's not a tour.
Taking a picture of someone on the island in a tour? No?
No, with the mascot.
With the mascot.
I mean, it all has to be done in good faith, right? If RCI comes, brings all its food and booze on the island.
They say food and beverages us. That's what it says, food and beverages us.
That's us, right?
That's what I just read. I look confused, but I think they say food and beverages us.
So that's an interesting one.
That's interesting.
Now, would somebody like RCI, you know, which has a brand, would allow its brand to be diluted by someone else? You know, they're going to want some control over all of that.
Well,
I think
of course they're going to approve
that whole experience.
They're going to be a part of the approval process, right? For who secures the contract to provide food and beverage on the island. But the bigger question is this: who among us has the capacity? Who has the capacity to meet the criteria of a contract to provide food and beverage for not just the amount of tourists that come off, but the max amount of tourists that could possibly come off?
Yeah, they say 5% of the total amount might come off. and go there daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I see you have a caller here, and I want you to read that article before we switch gears and go on the other topic. But I wanted to analyze that. I like I said, I feel uneasy. Mind you, I personally don't see how this particular project benefits the Bahamas, but that's just me. But our government works on creating an environment that where Bahamians can benefit. So I understand why they did it. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how it benefits.
I mean, it sounds good in principle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it sounds good in principle. This is my money. Anyway, go ahead, producer. Patrick, call it through. Caller, how you doing?
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mark Palmer.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
As I was sitting and waiting, you give me a good laugh, right, in that you own the Dolphin saying he's a Bahamian, right?
Yes.
So we it's a great job. Maybe we need to tag him because, you know, they always are moving around, right?
Yeah.
But I like the scrutiny, especially with you guys, the tree heads. I like the scrutiny of the intricacies of the detail as far as humanizing the economical interactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but something I've been saying on the radio for quite a while, and I would like for CA Nui to read it. It's called the Logan's Act. Our neighbors to the north, they implemented a law in order to curtail corruption and et cetera. And it goes like this. Anyone who was in government, right, they made it illegal for them to meet with private entities, right, to discuss public business without oversight. Mm-hmm. Seeing that you're sitting down with transnational multi-billion-dollar companies discussing the people business like CA Nui said, but there's actually a law against that. Because when you, but you, you know, but corporatism is really ambiguous, right, because you have corporatism in which the state controls the corporation and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
As in China. So we have to look at these things. So we're still in the dark ages, and we haven't read enough pages. Give thanks.
Thank you.
Yes,
much.
Sir.
But Aaron, I want you to read that article so we can transition to transparency and accountability.
RCI wins approval for 100 million PI project?
Yes.
That's the same thing you just read?
No. Just different, because that's an analytical one. I want you to read that.
But the other thing I was confused about, the PM said that they're going to break ground almost immediately, right? Whatever that means.
Yes,
but
yes,
then,
yes.
Then I look at another article which says they have... This project depends on the final approval of an environmental impact assessment, which has not yet been approved.
Wait. The EIA has not been approved yet.
Well, apparently, as of March the 9th.
Okay, let's just stick a pin here. I think at this point we could declare this soundly. Mm-hmm. Dear Bahamian government,
mm-hmm.
just throw the EIA process away.
That's
throw,
a done deal.
Throw it in the bush. This throw it in the garbage. Not one. Project, as I've read about, the EIA was presented before approvals were given. Not one. Throw it in the bush with the Public Disclosures Act. Please. Stop wasting our time. Here's the next thing, Mark. Because I still think that's the same article. I can read from it, but I still think that's the same article. Here's the next thing. Many of us were prepared to entertain the RCL Paradise Island Crown land lease debacle discussion because we knew that there were other elements on the table in Grand Bahama,
mm-hmm.
like RCL, CCL, potentially buying Grand Lucayan and the port.
Mm-hmm.
See, people were prepared to entertain this blatant discrimination against a Bahamian, Toby Smith, because it wasn't just another tourism project in dire times. It was a real attempt, a real chance at revitalizing Grand Bahama with the Grand Lucayan Hotel and the port.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a prime minister that looked us in our face and said that I am not inclined to approve this if I become prime minister.
More likely he can do it. That's what he
and
said.
So I'm offended that he has Chester Cooper making these announcements when really he dragged the buck to him. He had an opportunity to step away from it,
mm-hmm.
right? But he dragged the buck to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect a statement from him as to why the change of decision.
Why he changed his mind?
Right, because he didn't rest the decision with cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
He rests the decision with the privilege and power that he holds as prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
But more to that, how can you be considering the same deal with the same weight if the nature of the deal has changed? There's no more Grand Lucayan.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more port.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, I don't care how shoddy and ramshod Toby Smith's tree houses looked. I was the first one to tell you they look like I built them when I was drunk, me and two raccoons fighting.
Mm.
but it does not warrant the blatant discrimination and disrespect. The nature of the deal changed. And the nature of your, anyway, your tone changed entirely.
But you know, he's have different tone for different type of people. Depends on the audience.
Yeah.
As already stated. Yeah. But so just read my introduction on that. And maybe just the first two paragraphs.
Yeah, I got it right here. RCI wins approval for $100 million PI project. Though Philip Davis in opposition had expressed strong views against granting any Crown land lease to Royal Caribbean International, and had instead advocated leasing the land to Bahamian companies for development, his government yesterday announced it has granted approval to RCI for its $100 million beach club project on Paradise Island, which includes 4 acres of Crown land. In making the announcement, Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation Chester Cooper said the government intends to convert the Crown land contribution into an equity stake in the project, and that equity stake will be conveyed to the country's sovereign wealth fund.
Which doesn't exist.
Yeah. Cooper added that Bahamians will also be invited to invest in the project and hold equity up to 49%, with the remainder being held by RCI. Quote, "This first-of-a-kind project for RCI will cover 17 acres, of which 13 acres represent privately held land, and some 4 acres of Crown land that was included in the lease to RCI by the former administration," Cooper said. Stick a pin for a moment. Mm-hmm. My own commentary being added. I wonder when we will reinstate the Immovable Properties Act with relevant and substantive amendments to it.
Why bring it up? We can never replace it.
Why allow Bahamians to hurt their hearts and heads, frustrated with their attempts to gain a piece of the rock, when you also refuse to acknowledge that the mechanisms necessary to protect Bahamians' interests in their own country existed?
I think you grandstanding, man. Why bring it up?
And can be re-implemented.
Why bring it up? Finish, man. You're bringing it up.
Okay, we go on. The announcement regarding the RCI approval came just over 2 weeks after Chief Justice Sir Ian Winder found that Bahamian entrepreneur Toby Smith, who had been fighting for land on which to develop his $2 million Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club, did not have a claim to Crown land in that vicinity because his Crown land lease with the government for 5 acres was never executed. Now, I want to stick a pin here, right? Mm-hmm. If I were Toby Smith, mm-hmm. I would figure out where to find the money. To hire a lawyer and an investigator.
You did that already, eh?
To determine the process, what happened and what didn't happen between the time that he was sent and received a signed cover letter saying that his land grant was approved and the time that the courts ruled that it wasn't approved. Because then I feel like I'm going to sue for dereliction of duty. Because somebody's going to tell me, oh, well, everything was in place and the minister was supposed to sign, but he didn't sign it. I would sue for dereliction of duty, but I would need a lawyer and a private eye to determine whether that is a worthy avenue to go down.
Sounds like it'd be pricey. But anyway, but go ahead.
In a February 2020 letter to the then Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, who was the minister responsible for land, Smith said he understood from RCI's legal counsel that they had applied for the whole area of Crown land situated on the western portion of Paradise Island, which encompassed the land that he applied for, and that which was contained in the Crown land lease agreement to him. But Minnis never signed the agreement.
There goes Minnis again.
Smith had gained some support in the court of public opinion, including from Davis and the Progressive Liberal Party, while they were in opposition, as the dispute appeared to pit a small Bahamian businessman against a large foreign company. Cooper said in his statement yesterday, however, it is important to note that the land currently proposed under the project has not been subject to any dispute or litigation.
I hope Toby noted it. Because he thought that he had support from the opposition, the then opposition.
It is important to note that the land currently proposed under the project has not been subject to any dispute or litigation. So then what happened to the land that Toby is not granted, because that was under litigation, was it not?
That's where you missed it. He got dismissed by the
Chief Justice.
Chief Justice is null and void now.
No, but he said has not been subject.
Or, what do you mean is not a subject?
Yeah, because is not and has not, are not the same words. Yeah.
But is not. It's not. Or did they say it was never signed, so it could never.
I would hire a lawyer to determine whether
good luck
is not and has not means the same thing. Mm. See, my thing is this. Why does the buck stop with you when it comes to signing contracts?
But the Crown land belongs to the government.
Yeah, and a government official signed a approval letter.
Intended to sign.
No. A government official signed an approval letter. A government official with the authority of the government invested in him by the nature of his employment. The question is, A, why wasn't the process continued? Right? See, a process needs to be completed. Mm-hmm. You can tell me that I wasn't granted the Crown land. Where is the letter that was sent to me explaining that although I received a cover letter with approval, from an officer within the ministry, right? You need to send me a letter explaining why this document that previously assented or conveyed approval no longer conveys approval if the authority invested in the person that signed it still rests with that person. And then why are you going to tell me, well, the buck doesn't stop with him, it stops with the Prime Minister in this instance and not in other instances?
But all bucks stop with the Prime Minister. We see the appeal with the unions that once you appeal to the Prime Minister, that's where it goes. But I have a caller here. Are we finished with that article? Because I want to make sure we analyze it and still we got a transition.
No, we're not finished with it.
Go ahead.
It's plenty
caller, we're coming to you soon. Go run through that quickly. Because I wanted people to appreciate it.
Smith had gained some support in the court of public opinion, including from Davis and the Progressive Liberal Party, while they were in opposition. As the dispute appeared to pit a small Bahamian businessman against a large foreign company. Cooper said in his statement yesterday, however, it is important to note that the land currently proposed under the project has not been subject to any dispute or litigation. He said the project, when completed, will offer guests beach and water sport activities as well as Bahamian entertainment and retail experiences. Quote, the government is satisfied that it has addressed previous objections to the project by ensuring much greater Bahamian participation at all phases of the construction and in the ongoing operations. Cooper said.
So wait, wasn't going to be Bahamian workers before, construction workers? I thought, forgiven, there's going to be...
Oh, no, they are going to be Bahamian construction workers on
this
project?
That's what I said just now.
No, that's not what that said.
What did I say? Yes,
the government is satisfied that it has addressed previous objections to the project by ensuring much greater Bahamian participation at all phases of the construction. See, participation means you get to be a part of something somebody else is doing.
Oh, Lord.
So, he applied, going to the PI thing, he applied in 2012 for this investment.
11 years ago.
It took him, till 2021 to find out, I think around that time, that there was another lease being entered into. And the big guys get it done in 2 years, right? Uh-huh. 1.5 years. He's been fighting for, 10 years?
Yeah, take one for the team. Take one for the team. Go ahead, Aaron.
Toby, they think you are a woman and that you should perpetually take one for the team.
He's a groomer. But I remember I have a caller,
He added that RCI will not have equity ownership in any ferry business from Prince George Wharf to the site. What about other wharfs? What about Paradise Island? Mm. See, this is it right here. Remember when I told you that I saw the flyer for the concert and it said Atlantis Paradise Island and there was no Bahamas anywhere in there? And the people asked me, Aaron, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. This is the big deal. He added that RCI will not have equity ownership in any ferry business from Prince George Wharf to the site. What about from Bahama to the site?
Or from the cruise
ship?
What
about from Atlantis to the site? What about directly from the cruise ship to the site?
You'd be not too analytical. But finish.
You know, especially since I don't get paid to do this and other people actually get paid to do this. Mm-hmm. Several key activities at the site, including water sports, entertainment, tours, food and beverage, retail, security, environmental monitoring and landscaping will be reserved principally for Bahamian entrepreneurs and businesses, Cooper announced. All the principals I know could be busy teaching. Mm. He has also advised that the government will impose a tourism development fund levy of 1% of the annual gross revenue of the Royal Beach Club. The project will create hundreds of jobs both during the construction and operational phases, further contributing meaningfully to the tourism rebound and economic growth that has been set in motion by the focused policy initiatives of this administration, Cooper said. We take great pride in the fact that in this and similar upcoming projects, we have significantly expanded opportunities for Bahamians to participate during the development stage and throughout the life of the project. The language is so problematic. Mm-hmm. In opposition, Davis had been concerned that the former version of the RCI proposal would have resulted in the company extracting profits with little benefits to Bahamians. Cooper said yesterday, however, RCI has been an outstanding partner with the Bahamas, and its commitment to deepening its relationship with the Bahamas was also a key consideration in granting approval. But they didn't buy the hotel.
But there you have it, Aaron. If you were sitting in his shoes, you'd do the same thing, though.
Yes, I mean.
You go, Toby, come in with his nice Bahamian little thing, but it's a small deal, and you get a big international partner coming with plenty money. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You're not going to... Come on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Call us. Right. We're gonna have a short break now, and we're going to come right to you after this short break. So forgive us. We just want to get the information out to make sure everyone understands. So we can take the short break, Guiding Radio in the AM, and when we come back, we're going straight to the callers.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM, and we go straight to the line. I see we have a caller there. Pass the caller there through, please. Go ahead, caller.
Godly day, this dark in the voice. We need justice, law, and order in this country. But, Aaron,
yes, sir.
What, before I make my comment, right?
Uh-huh.
What the judge said hasn't been done in order for Toby to kept the property.
Well, what the judge said was the agreement wasn't completed, right? I think the prime minister didn't sign. The last signatures were not attached to the document. So in truth, the process wasn't finalized.
So that meant the former prime minister supposed to have signed it.
Yes.
Ah. Well, look here. Why is it then that the other company wanted to make a deal with Toby for a portion of the property?
Because they may be a monolith, but they're not monsters, is basically it. Like, you know, like they could, perhaps they saw the unfairness of it, even if there was no illegality. Right? Like, even if nothing criminal took place, they saw the unfairness of it. But if I were a massive, major, multinational corporation, and I realized that I could get this project and I don't even have to do the other things that I promised that I would do, I would try and lend a hand out. I wouldn't want to come into this jurisdiction mowing everybody down.
I got you.
Yeah, I would say...
Thank you, man. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next caller there. Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, your guest in the studio.
That's Mark.
My very, very quick commentary here. Something really stinks with this whole thing. You know, Toby has been at this. And, you know, let's all be fair here. Toby, I'm no close friend of Toby. I know of Toby only based on what he's been going through with this thing that he wanted to do. The mere fact here is you have RCI lawyers. You have their Toby lawyers. and everything. And you're telling me that after all this time, this fight that Toby had, that they didn't detect that his conveyance of land, if I could put it like that, was not approved by the former prime minister? No, man, something is really wrong with that picture.
It is what it is.
And these are lawyers. These are learned lawyers. Why would RCI lawyers or the company approach Toby to get conveyance of some of the land that he was supposed to get? Again, there's something fishy about this story. Lastly, Why didn't the current administration then offer Toby probably some other parcel of land equal in value to what it is that he wanted to do? If in all fairness, that as a Bahamian, that he wanted to do a development to bring some type of investment.
Well, I'm not sure. I think they may have offered him. I think they may have offered him other land, but I think Toby's position is that his project is rooted in more than just tourism and generating tourism dollars. It's rooted in more than just carving out a piece of sand for people to have drinks on and enjoy themselves. Toby's project is rooted in a desire to preserve history and culture, and the lighthouse itself is a central part of Toby's project.
I have a text here. It says, good morning, CA. Is there any truth to the comments that the government pays cruise ships $8 per passenger to come to the Bahamas? I've never heard that before.
Listen, just because businesses pay taxi drivers per head to bring tourists and guests to their establishments doesn't mean that the government is actually paying cruise ships to bring tourists here. Now, when you sit and you look at a project that would subsidize heads and beds, right? Like, if you buy 3 tickets, we'll buy the 4th. Or if you buy 4 tickets, we'll pay for 2 hotel night stays, right? Things like that tend to seem like they're paying for people to come here. But
it's done more subtly, Aaron. So what happens is we don't actually pay you anything, but for every passenger you bring, we're going to give you some kind of deduction on your taxes,
so rates, it might be
or
true.
Whatever.
The concessions could amount to roughly $8 per head.
Is something worth investigating? I mean, do we pay cruise ships to come here?
Look how quickly we're going to have to shut down the Ministry of Tourism if it turns out we're actually paying people to come
here. I wonder
where
would you get that information from, or would you ask the minister directly that type of question?
I think you would have to ask the minister directly. You have to go to one of these press briefings.
Let's quickly take this caller, and Mark, we'll have you for your final comments here. Go ahead, caller. Patrick, producer, caller through. Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good afternoon. I just heard something that establishments pay taxi drivers to bring their people to the establishment.
Yeah, some does that. Yeah.
After
the guest for the tour would have paid for the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've had taxi drivers tell me that to my face, miss, if you want me to bring a load of passengers here, there's a fee per head.
Dollar per person. That's standard now.
Dollar per person?
Yeah, man.
And if they don't buy anything?
Well, that's your risk there. You just need them to get to your place.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. But Toby, white Mark, I'm calling you Toby.
Hold on, wait, ma'am. I know you're gone, but that doesn't be saying that happens. We're not endorsing that. I need you to know I ain't endorsing that.
I have no problem with it at all.
Oh, I ain't got a problem with it.
Well, I don't have to bring him to your place.
That's cool.
You take him
to Tor True Blair.
Yeah.
Take him to Tor True Blair. Wait till you see my tour in Blair.
Drop him to my cousin's place. Go ahead.
I'm looking at an act called the Cruise Ships Overnighting Incentives Arrangement. Incentives Act.
So we should
really have a look at that.
Send that to me, please, Mark. Yeah, let's have a conversation on that.
So that.
How much time we have left, Mr.
We have good 4 minutes.
We got a good four minutes.
Yeah, we can push the 4 minutes.
Yeah, that which the caller queried. I'm glad that you called in and queried it, because you wouldn't believe that we're supposed to be the leaders in tourism, and these are some of the practices that we have in our market. It's like we don't like to acknowledge the truth. That's why all this critical interrogation and engagement is important.
This text says, don't forget the government subsidies to airlines.
Okay,
do we have subsidies to airlines too?
You wouldn't imagine, considering they say they was going to sue us.
So in 2018, Dionisio Dagulis said that the government used to pay cruise lines $12 million a year in incentives to dock to countries' ports, but not anymore.
Oh, Wow, $12 million a year. Listen, for $40, you could come and park at Montague Ramp all day if you want.
Well, for a reason, he says they were paying for a lot of people who didn't come off the boat. But that's interesting. So that's the statement that they don't incentivize. So let's have a look at that little Overnighting Incentives Act, because that seems to indicate.
Yeah, and let's look for a couple of people who...
Let's pass this caller through. May this be quick. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Mr. Nuri.
Hey, this is Nuri.
How you doing?
Doing well.
All right. I was voting for Toby, but I know this government wasn't going to give him that. But your guess is dead right. Okay? Then you read that part about the $11. That's right. Okay? So sometimes you got to have people who really... Then you hear people say things to the Bahamas. Be careful. It's true somewhere along the line. Anyway, you all have a pleasant one.
Thank you very much for calling and listening. I got to check that. I don't think we just pay these people to come off the cruise.
Listen, what I'm saying is that I can't believe that people are making the salaries that they've been making historically and contemporarily, and we are still engaging in practices like those. Man, look here. I'm a Hasty and a Mitchell combined. You all come out to the Hasty Hannah Times family reunion, 6:30 at St. John's, but don't bring your wallet with you. Because Hannah Hasty and Times could sell ice to Eskimo. We could sell Jesus to God.
It's a meet and greet that they have in St. John's.
Right,
tonight.
Meet and greet. I don't understand why we would have to subsidize people to come to the Bahamas.
Especially when making record numbers. All that money we thought we have, we actually paying money out.
Yeah. It don't make any sense.
It don't make no sense.
$8 million. This, for 2023 estimated.
Yeah.
And what are you saying? $8 per head? How about $8 times $8 million?
That's 64 plus plenty zeros.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to ask the minister that. I got to get him, inbox him.
Please.
Do we pay that money out?
Please, I'm going to reach out to some people as well.
Man, I appreciate you, Mark, for coming on and analyzing this for me. As usual, Aaron, analytical skills. Mark, what high school are you going to? I had a text ask me that.
Life of Key High School.
My God. You're a privileged man.
I know.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah. But Aaron, QC, but we know how it is, sock power. But anyway, it has been Guardian Radio to AM. Thank you very much for listening to us.
You guys have a great day. Yeah,